Ares, get back on my feet.
Long black hair flowed. It shone like a gleaming stream. It covered sparkling earpins. It fell over slightly stooped shoulders, blending with a short, flowery dress. I coughed. She turned. I ducked under the blue seat. I rose again, with a copy of the new vision fished from my black travel bag. She was smiling. I grinned back. But the brown eyes were directed far out. I craned my neck. Ah! It was the platform outside. A dark double-breasted suit waved feverishly. The heavy weight of embarrassment pulled down my chin.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Please get your tickets ready. Our journey to Entebbe
starts. I didn't hear the hackneyed reminder of a raspy announcement over the PA system. The bus eased forward. Endless chatter poured through the windows. It fizzled out, becoming a faint noise. I nursed louder thoughts, schemes, fears, bump, 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 over potholes, then the smooth cruise. We were on the highway now. Streams of fresh air rushed in. My inner turmoil quietened down. High-rise buildings, malls, gizmo shops, rows of stalls with slouching traders, abandoned buildings from the old war. Slowly, we left Kampala behind. The lake shone. We were in Bugunga. Courage, where are you? I had to make a move. Had to say something to the black hair. The brown eyes floated over a Cosmopolitan magazine. Fashion. Style. I tried to attract her attention. This time, no response. Well, oh well. Her eyes were elsewhere. It was now or never. I rummaged through my bag. Hello? Would you like to check yourself out in my mirror? She turned, not in the least friendly. Lines of a half-surprised, half-angry frown slid over her forehead. That chocolate skin is so smooth. No, please, she growled. I'm not interested in your mirror, squinty squinty. She smiled like a triumphant Jezebel. The knife had been driven in, deep and hard. She flipped another page. The airport building zoomed past. Your ticket, sir? The burly conductor interrupted my agony. Ah, yes, of course. I handed him my ticket. A brief, tense silence passed. Have a safe journey. The beefy conductor returned my ticket, marked with a black stain. I zombied down the bus stairs. She spun around, smiled. Squinty, squinty, her lips seemed to read. The wide hips and black high-heeled shoes clambered up the stairway to the International Departure Lounge. I headed for the Domestic Lounge. Gulu, my latest placement. Oh, this work. Social working. I was worked up. She had actually slammed the door, hard in my face. At the entrance, the temptation became too strong. No, no. Turn back. Hurry, hurry. I ran up the stairs, three at a time, the travel bag bouncing off my back. I flew through the sliding glass doors. She was checking in at Emirates. Long fingers grazed her forehead, pushing back black flowing hair. She looked up at me for a split second. I froze. Then I whipped around, pretended to be searching for someone else. Wait a minute. I looked at the walk-through metal detector once more. She was beyond, tagging her brown leather case along.
Mr. Mwebaze, may you kindly present yourself at counter 25, ground floor?
The announcer called for me. 10 minutes to departure time. I had almost missed my flight. Thank goodness I was the project manager. The project manager on a chartered flight is never left behind. Hello, sir. This is for you. A smiling hostess presented the blue business card. She was panting. I paused before the glass door on the ground floor. Julia Chisachi, Miss Communications Executive, Rufflink Incorporated. And what does this mean? I asked. Sir, I'm just a go-between for one of our regular clients. but she said if you asked, Squinty Squinty was the code word. I nodded and walked away. In Gulu, the seesaw game began. Should I? Shouldn't I? No, 7 days was too long. I finally called after 3 days. Hello, Julia. Squinty Squinty here. We both laughed. So, I knew you would call. I was waiting for your call. Serious? Are you crazy? Of course. She had liked my denims. She thought I was a sophisticated man. I told her she was the most beautiful woman I had ever beheld. We talked like old friends. Soon I was trapped in illicit bliss. I, William Mwebaze, chief usher at St. Apollo's Church, was now officially a cheat with another cheat, Julia, who reignited the dying embers of my heart. Things had become worse between me and Susie after she found us, me and Berner, at Whiskey's in a, well, a compromising position. Berner, you, my best friend? Susie was inconsolable. We apologized. One thing had led to another, but she bought none of it. Ours was a comatose marriage now, kept on life support by our son. After 3 months with Julia, I felt like a god, risen from the rotting grave of an irredeemable marriage. She was cheating on her fiancé. I was playing my wife. It felt good, but looking back, I was too enchanted to see. It was all illusion. Julia made me feel so happy, but what a ruse. Come to think of it, how did this start? Chisache was unusually bold. Women don't just leave their business cards behind to any Chituma, Jackson, or Lubanga who displays interest. In fact, once I heard the rumors. Her endless flights to South Africa? It wasn't the job. It was the chief executive, more like. That's what they said. I ignored them. The perennial blind lover, only wanting her nearer. She gave me all I wanted. It began and ended in bed. Don't call me, sweetie. Just in case my fiancé finds out, I will call you. And she did. Ah, sweetheart, let's meet at Hoti Hoti. Take a special hire. Ask for room 8. No names. Oh, I was such a fool. Can I twist time's arms backwards? No, it's too late now. First, HIV positive. Now, AIDS, slowly, relentlessly, eating away what is left of me. One dark morning, Susie left me on my deathbed, left with our son.
Yeah.
You have broken my heart, William. I could have stayed even after the Berner incident, she cried. I was too weak to speak back. But not AIDS, William. You gave me AIDS. I closed my eyes. That was the last I heard of my wife. It's a year and a half today. Just a year and a half. How my life is changed. Poor, broken man that I am. The courts took away everything. Those sleazy, learned idiots. She needs to take care of her son. The complainant says the defendant can survive in a Tasso clinic. Thank God for Tasso. I'd be dead otherwise. Suicide, maybe. I miss my son. And the beauty that mocked my squinty eyes? She disappeared when I fell sick, when I used up my insurance, lost my job, the money wells dried. What was expected? Oh, William, I really want to leave my fiancé, to care for you, through thick and thin. Oh, William, let's drown ourselves in love. I'm dreaming this terrible nightmare. I'm running mad. Maybe I'm better off dead. Hopes and dreams blown away by this typhoon of AIDS. Ha! No, no. I'm rising up. I will get well. Leave this stinking bed, this constant stench. The ARVs will get me back on my feet. I will make something of this smoldering emptiness. I should find my son. I must say sorry to Susie. I must tell my son, watch out, boy. When you are a man, stick to your wife. I must get back on my feet soon.